The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, if you've saved up a bit of money, what should you do with it? Or if you're planning to save, where should you start? Financial advisor Padraig Hassan is on the line. Padraig, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. Now, the banks aren't paying anything by way of interest, therefore you're not paying any dirt, which I suppose is a bit of a bonus. But where is the money being kept? Is it in the banks? Is it under the beds in the post office? Where is it?
I think, Pat, when it comes to savings, it's such a broad area to look at. I mean, certainly there is a huge amount of money kept on banks' deposits, and there's a certain degree of inertia with Irish people about existing plans, where sometimes the fear of the unknown is what causes people to leave it on deposit, and at the moment leading to minimal and minimalistic returns. But there's also a fear now, I believe, of what has been a standard practice, which is a deposit account and so forth, because of those low returns. And the fear of the known is, I mean, as I say a lot of time, the climate isn't the only place where erosion is currently happening. It's happening with people's finances and their savings. But when somebody asks, what should somebody do with savings, it's a very simplistic question, but it's a very difficult answer, because age and the term you want to save. And the first thing I would say to anybody is, why do you want to do it? Create a purpose to your savings is the first thing somebody should. And you move to the areas of pensions and index tracking and equities and the whole broad spectrum. There was an ad before I came on about gold and bullion and so forth. So there's a whole load of stuff thrown at people. But I think a lot of people have to become, let's say, better qualified and educated about what risk is and what is involved in investing with
okay,
risk.
Now, if you've got time, if this money is for down the road a few years, what do you make of the stock market? I mean, by and large, do you, if you can choose when to cash in other words, there will be no instant emergency that demands you liquidate whatever shares you have instantly. If you can choose your timing, can you always make money?
Yeah, I mean, particularly in the shares area, the index, the equity area. I mean, but it has to be a longer term plan. I mean, you cannot come and expect to make a return in a year and hope that it will happen. Singular investments. We all remember what happened with Aircom, where everybody thought shares was the way to go, but it was a single share investment. I would always promote tracking an index like the S&P 500 or the FTSE 100 and so forth. So you're then at least linking into in a less risky area that you're not specifically.
In other words, you might win some, you might lose some, but on balance, you'll be in profit. That's the theory.
Yes, but I mean, for a lot of people this morning, Pat, if somebody was asking me for a return and what's the best way to get a return, I mean, if I said to you that there's a savings plan creating a 12% return, some people would look at you and say, God, that's fantastic. But that could be clearing a credit card. And that gives you a return that if you clear the balance on your credit card every month, you avoid a 12% interest rate. And that is really where it starts from, is making.
Okay, so that's the first thing to do. Let no one. The first thing you do is set it up so you've got a direct debit every month that will automatically clear your credit card. And the only charge, therefore, you'll have on your credit card is the government's stamp duty every year on the card. That's the only expense if you do that.
That's a great return. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a great return.
What you're doing now, Pat, is the discipline of it is there. And that is a key factor when it comes to saving, is having it as a discipline. But in order, it's not just enough to have a discipline. You need to have a reason or a purpose to why you're saving. And that's where it starts from. And I hear a lot of people talk about life savings. But life savings are generally associated with elderly. But somebody at 20 has life savings. They're just a very short life savings. And somebody at 30 has savings. So there are different and evolving purposes as to why people would be saving. And it's fitting those purposes with where they're at. But when you see numbers of 123 billion in the country, that can be frightening figures. But it, within that is everything. Like, for example, the immediate return on a pension plan is 40% tax from the government. But you have to wait till you retire to see the benefit of it. So there are short, long, medium, and terms. Really what people have to understand here is becoming informed, I believe, is better than deciding what to do. Like, for example, for an ordinary saver, is the easiest way to put it, I still promote credit unions, but the post office, for example, is still giving 1% tax-free, 5% over 5 years. The 10-year one is longer. Yeah. And that's for people who are still requiring safety, because if your nest egg is, you take the figure of 33,000 per adult, if 33,000 is all you have saved or all that you have on deposit, it probably isn't wise to put that in a riskier investment like tracking an index unless you're prepared to leave it for a long period of time. Accumulated savings and regular savings are important as well as a means of generating that lump sum and generating an accumulation of
okay,
money.
Okay, now here's a classic question, and I'm sure this reflects what many people, the situation they're in. Brian says, I have 25K in a bank account. I would love to grow it over the course of 5 to 10 years. I've young kids, and I'd love to have some money for their college in years to come. So there's Brian maybe looking 10 years hence when he wants to cash in that money. Should he be going to one of those funds, funds linked to the stock market, if he doesn't have to touch this 25K for 10 years?
Okay, so there's absolutely. If he's prepared to leave it and is flexible to leave it for that period of time, he will deliver himself a better return. But he might also deliver greater risk than he's willing to take on. So he would need to know the good and the bad about the investment. But the issue is, what has Brian arrived to? To arrive to 25,000, he has had to accumulate it. So it's likely that accumulation will continue. So the 25,000 will grow by his own accumulation of it, and it's what he does with that that's as important as what he does with the 25,000. But if, for example, Brian this morning had 25,000 on deposit and he has 3,000 outstanding on a credit card, I will reduce it to 22 immediately and clear the credit card fully, because that's a better return, because there's a hidden cost there with that credit. And I keep talking about credit card because not everybody understands their money, and that's really a big matter that I would talk about a lot, is understanding money. And people would see when shares drop in value, but if you have a collective tracking index, the collective shares might be going forward. I mean, over the long term, equities has outperformed every other degree or method of investing. However, when you're looking for money in a rainy day fund, I don't believe that should be put away for the longer term, because you might need access to it for its liquidity benefits. So, but what we were brought up to do, which were the post office stamps, and then it led to the credit unions, and then it led to your small deposit account and so on, they are still worthwhile mechanisms to give people the habit of saving that as a starting point. As you move forward, I mean, there are age bands here that you need to talk about, the income that people are getting, and more importantly than anything is the income progress that you're likely to make and see. That will also become a key reason as to what and where and how you should invest.
I suppose, too, people who have some sort of spare income and want to save, and putting it into a pension fund, as you said, it works well because you get the tax break from the government. But when you're young enough, you know, pension seems so far away. And then, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, it might turn out that there will be no state pension worth a damn, because of the dependency ratios that are going to change in terms of the working versus the dependent populations. So you might have to be planning to mind yourself rather than expect the state to do it in a few decades' time.
There's an old adage that still stands, Pat. Any amount of money put away for a long term will grow into a larger amount of money. So the length of time for pension is the key ingredient factor. So somebody starting early, it doesn't have to be a large amount of money, because unfortunately, as we all begin to realize, retirement jumps on you quicker than you ever expected to, because suddenly 20 becomes 30, 40, 50, and it happens very quickly and time passes. And rather than trying to backfill your requirements, you should try and front fill them with a small amount of money at the start that's applicable, because the key years for massive change for people's finances and demand for finances is between probably 28 and 40. So much happens within that time frame, but a lot of the preparation can begin when you commence your job. Like, Pat, everybody leaves a university at the moment, and they have degrees and they go into jobs and please God, or start off on the road. But the one thing they're not taught anything about is their money and what to do with it. It has all got to be picked up along the way. And I think it's too important a matter to leave it just to that. I think people need to know and make their money work harder. For example, when you get to 70 and beyond, a lot of people talk, well, that's it, I'm finished with it. But they actually need more advice than they have ever needed now. And a lot more care is required there about what to do with the money, because tax becomes an issue at the other side of it then as well. And a lot of people get caught up with the whole tax area and what it means for me. I'm saying, first of all, to somebody, if you have the discipline, it'll become a habit. If you have the habit, it's easy then to become informed about what you should put it into. And not all of it. I would never advise anybody put all of their savings to one, let's say, equity investment and hope that it goes well. The removal of some of the hope and more of the plans and reviewing and making sure and being informed is more important now and critical now, because if you leave it on deposit, inertia in Irish people for moving, like for example, deposits on savings plans and deposit accounts are going to remain low for the foreseeable future. Only recently in Denmark, there is a 20-year fixed rate of 0% for a mortgage, which is staggering when you think about it. You only pay back the capital. And people have to realize that our heretofore traditional methods of saving are altering before our very eyes. Revolut, I can keep going, Bitcoin, there's a whole series of things. And the fear of the unknown is what is preventing people to looking and finding out about that. But they should also actually develop a fear of the known methods of deposit accounts and so forth, because that's eroding, but unseen erosion.
All right, Padraig Cassan, financial advisor, thank you very much for joining us. We have a question about a self-administered pension fund, but I'm going to say to our listener, we'll deal with that in a specific way. We'll talk about pensions in the not-too-distant future.